Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of The Place Where Sports Opinions Collide. You are locked in to the Dead End Sports Podcast. I am your host, 12 Kyle. We want to thank you for tuning in as you do each and every week. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you download, subscribe, and share this podcast. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We like to call this the best couple of hours of your sports week. Again, I am your host, 12 Kyle. Of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. We're going to talk about sports this week, and I've got the homies with me. First up to bat, my man, BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up, though? What's going on?
Can't call it, man. Can't call it. What's up with you?
Nah, man, watching this game one of this World Series, Dodgers and Astros, you know. Some good baseball, some good intense baseball.
True. And also joining us is the homie Ken. Ken, what up, man?
Yep, same thing. I'm chilling, man, watching the baseball game, the World Series, just like B.
Oh, yeah, same here, man. Same here over here lamping, just chilling. The homie FIFO will be joining us momentarily. As I mentioned at the top, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's get to it, man. We had a rare day this past Thursday where we had college football, and it's the only time it ever happens in sports. This past Thursday, we had college football, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, and NHL all being played on the same day. That's the only time this year that it will happen, and we had it happen this past Thursday. So let's start right there, man. What'd you say, B?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, man. Little fun fact to get the show started. So let's start right there, man. B, what stood out to you this past week in sports, covering any of the sports that you want to talk about?
Michigan Wolverines are not for real. Football.
Oh, my God.
they are not for real. And it's amazing that, and I hate to bring this up too, Kyle, but Florida State started this season off number three, and they're two and four. Yeah, yeah, start off the season number three, and they are 2-4 now. And a team that's kind of like the San Antonio Spurs of college football, but not necessarily because they don't win the big games when it's counted. But Wisconsin. Wisconsin's quietly number five. And they always creep up under the radar in Big Ten football and in college football. Like, they always creep. Nobody talk about them. But then when you get to the big games that count, Wisconsin always seem to fall up short. But they always in the conversation for, you know, oh, man, top fives, top six. They always creeping in that Big Ten, which is going to be interesting in the Big Ten fight with Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin all balling. So that's going to be interesting. And I didn't watch the game, but just based off the highlights, it seemed like we had a huge Amari Cooper sighting this past
day. Yes.
Don't know where he's been. He's been on some milk cartons for the past, for some weeks and multiple weeks. And, you know, it was good that he had a wake up call. He balled out. Looking at his numbers, he freaking balled out. Carr was out there balling. Even Michael Crabtree was out there having fun. Marshawn Lynch out there taking up for his family, for the other team. You know, it seemed like it was an entertaining Thursday night football game.
It was.
Yeah, fortunately, I didn't watch it, but, you know, I was just like, oh, okay. But, you know, hey. And, you know, we got NBA season started up. So, you know, that's one thing I was excited for. So, yeah, that's all the stuff that I peeped this weekend, which is, you know, just college football. You know, the usual suspects won. We knew Alabama was going to pull off the win. Michigan State had a small scare against Indiana, which I was watching some of that game. Yeah, Memphis Tigers had a great shootout with the Houston Cougars. So, yeah.
What about you, Ken? What stood out to you this past weekend sports?
Well, in college football, I'll start with Lamar Jackson, man. Like, I saw some of the highlights on Twitter, and the 51-yard run and another run that he had, I think, to set up the go-ahead field goal off the turnover. And, you know, I know that, you know, he lost and that to Clemson, and people are not still high on him anymore. But he's still a hell of a talent, and I think he still deserves to get a little bit more credit than he's been getting, way more credit than Sam Darnold. Again, man, like, I've just been iffy on this dude, And now the media is starting to take notice.
Hey, you know what? Because you were one of the few, and you've been like this from day one. You have not been sold on Sam Darnold at all.
Mm-mm. And he may play completely different in the NFL, and I'm okay with that. I'm just saying that from what I'm seeing, and I just don't see the hype. I just don't see it yet. And there have been instances where players in college just, you know, don't perform well in college because the game may be too easy for them. I don't know. We see that happen more in college basketball than we do with college football. But he's a turnover machine. And yeah, he could turn it on late and win games late. But in most cases, he put themselves in those situations. So if people are going to jump on Andrew Luck for being a turnover machine, and Jameis Winston, remember his last year in college, people jumped all over him for his turnovers. Sam Darnold deserves the same amount of criticism in spite of what his talent may or may not be. So that's that. So, yeah, I'm seeing the media start to kind of question him. Moving on to baseball. Hey, man, Yankees. A lot of people jumped on the Yankees bandwagon, as they tend to do, and the Yankees deserve a lot of props for taking the lead after being down 3-2. But the better team won in the Houston Astros, and I got to give them a lot of props because they were in a situation this postseason that they haven't been in before, and they were very, very clutch, and they got that job done. And Altuve, man, Altuve is special. All people are talking about is Aaron Judge, and rightfully so. The dude's a behemoth, and he can smash home runs like no other. But Altuve is a special, special, special player. So I think he deserves a lot more attention than he's getting. So hopefully he shows out in the World Series, which I think would be fun. We'll talk about that later on. But yeah, it's always a good day when the Yankees lose. We'll take that. We'll take that. The only thing is, I think I heard somebody say the Yankees are likable. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't like likable Yankees. I need Yankees I can hate. Marshawn Lynch, man. Like, shout out to that brother. Shout out to that brother. I need a Marshawn Lynch on my team. We're in hip hop, man. We need a Marshawn Lynch. I be talking too crazy, man. I need a Marshawn Lynch to back me up to run on the field. You notice, and the funny thing is, right? Like when he took off for the field, was anybody chasing behind him?
No, nobody.
Nobody. I don't even think anybody was paying attention the fact that he was on the field.
Kyle, when they saw him take off, I didn't see a coach. I didn't see a player. I didn't see anybody go get Marshawn Lynch. I bet Del Rio was like, hey, somebody go get him. And everybody was like, you go get him, you the coach.
Yeah, you the coach. That's yeah, your
they,
man.
They, yeah, they let that man, they let that play himself out. even the referee was like, oh, my God. He was like, hey, man, chill out. But, man, then the fact that he went and watched the game from the stands. I mean, this dude, man. So that was funny. Last, Kyle, I'm sure you'll like this. John Collins for the Atlanta Hawks, man. Hey.
Yes.
I think y'all got a player, dude. I think y'all got a player. Three good games so far. Yeah. Yeah, he got spunk, man. So I'm going to love watching him play this year to see what he turns out to be. So hopefully he turns into something. But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I like Collins, man. I just the rest of the team I just don't like. but that's another story for another day. Now, Collins, I think, is going to be solid for the Hawks. Things, let's see, over the weekend, at least since the last time we talked, starting with college football. Yeah, college football, Penn State is for real. I had my doubts. But really, you know, a team that I thought really that was going to do a lot this year in Michigan, as B mentioned, Michigan ain't for real, man. And, you know, people were waiting around to see what Harbaugh was going to do with this team as, you know, he's gotten his players in there, what have you. But, you know, Harbaugh has struggled. You know, he hasn't beaten Michigan State, the last two or three times. And, you know, they just really got mashed out by Penn State. Penn State is for real. The Barkley kid, he's the front runner for the Heisman. And I'm interested to see if I don't want to say I'm jumping on the Penn State bandwagon, but they've got to beat Ohio State this coming weekend. That's going to be the premier game. Definitely looking forward to that. Florida State Seminoles, my squad, man, it's looking tough for us, man. We lost this past weekend again at home, the third straight loss at home. This team is very much in danger of not making a bowl game. And, you know, if we make a bowl game, it might be like one of those, like we might make it to the Popeyes Bowl or something like that. You know, something crazy, some pre-Christmas bowl if we make it. And being a Florida State fan, that's very frustrating. But, you know, that's where we are. What else happened in college football? I think Alabama, man, and I keep saying it each week, I'm more and more amazed at their level of dominance that they have. Now, the SEC isn't what it was or what it has been known for in the last couple of years, but I'm interested to see. It looks and appears that, you know, Alabama and Georgia are on a collision course. Now, a lot of football is left to be played, but, you know, the SEC is shaping up to be pretty good. Ken touched on the Sam Darnold, so I won't touch on that. They got smoked and really got exposed. Notre Dame, don't sleep on Notre Dame, even though I hate Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame might be back, man. They could, if they run the table, they will be back in the mix as far as you know, things are concerned. As far as the NFL, what stood out? Not to sound like a broken record, man, but bad quarterback play. It was this past weekend was just really, really bad for. I mean, like there was one game where two teams didn't score a touchdown. There was, I think, another game where, you know, it was just bad quarterback play across the board. Another thing this past weekend in the NFL, injuries. Jay Cutler goes down. Carson Palmer goes down with a broken arm. We already know Aaron Rodgers is out. So, you know, these injuries are starting to pile up. Last night, Monday Night Football, we saw All-Pro left tackle Jason Peters go down. And with Philadelphia Eagles being the best team, record-wise being the best team in the NFL, it's going to be interesting to see how well they play without, you know, that All-Pro left tackle and Jason Peters. Philadelphia might have to reconsider my thoughts on Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the real deal. Carson Wentz, in my opinion, is a lot better than what I thought he was. I was very surprised at how well he has been playing this season. Let's see. And shout out to the NFL. Well, not the NFL, but the NBC overhead camera. If NBC does not have an overhead camera on that field on Sunday night, if you watch the game, a heavy fog moved in to the stadium in the game between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. And so the upper cameras, the normal cameras that we watch the game from, there was so much fog that they could not see the field. So if you didn't have the overhead camera, we really would not have been able to know what was going on in that game. And, you know, something that happens, it doesn't happen often, but, you know, to have fog that thick come in, you know, is really, really, is really a test to what they were able to do. So shout out to NBC for covering that. No shout out to the Falcons. I don't know what the problem is. Some people are saying Super Bowl hangover. Clearly, Matt Ryan and new offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian, I don't want to get his name wrong, they're not on the same page. Matt Ryan has not played to the MVP level that he's played at last year. And Steve Sarkisian, in this game against the against the New England Patriots, on a 4th-and-1, when you have Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, calls for a wide receiver reverse. Not a wide receiver reverse to Julio Jones, but to a guy named Taylor Gabriel, who is just a little bit bigger than me. And he got thrown for a five-yard loss. Yeah. Turnover on downs. So wow. the Falcons.
Wait, did you say three, that was on? Wait, hold on. You said he called that 10, play on fourth and one
from the 1-yard line.
He should have been fired.
I'm surprised they let him on a plane. And you can't, and the Falcons were down at the time. You just, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we've talked about it before in this podcast where coaches tend to, you know, just outthink themselves. So, yeah, the Falcons better get it together. 3-3. They've had three straight losses. So, you know, it's not looking good for the home team. Lastly, in the NBA, Eric Bledsoe complained via Twitter. And subsequently, like a few minutes later, the coach for the Phoenix Suns, where Eric Bledsoe plays, Errol Watson, who was 0-3 at the time, got fired. I don't remember an NBA coach getting fired after three games. I think Mike Brown got canned after five games. I think
Byron Scott got fired. He got fired pretty quick out of New Orleans when it was the New Orleans Hornets with Chris Paul and Tyson.
Okay. Chandler. Was it three games?
After winning the coach of the year, the previous year. He came in, I think he ain't last like a week and got fired.
Yeah, so they got Errol Watson up out of the paint. But Eric Bledsoe, at the time of this recording, has not been traded, but it looks like he will be traded. He sent out a tweet saying, "I don't want to be here anymore." And that's all the tweet said. And
I mean, he was later, at the salon.
Yeah, he was at the hair salon, man. What man wanna be stuck at a hair salon?
Okay, what hair salon you know open on Sundays, bro?
Hey, man, look, Black Sis is out here trying to get this paper, baby.
The only hair salon that's open on Sundays are the ones that don't cut black people hair called Supercuts.
He probably was in the hood, man. You haven't been to the hood to get your girl.
Yeah, if you're in the salon in the hood, something's wrong. On a Sunday, come on, man. Nonetheless, man, Eric Bledsoe.
He's an NBA player. He got special treatment.
This guy makes $15 million a year, man, and scores 15 points, 3 assists. You're not that big of a player, I think, to be demanding a trade. But we'll see where he goes. I mean, be careful what you ask for. You could end up, you know, someplace worse than where you are. So, yeah, that's what I had for this past week, man. It's crazy, crazy weekend, the week of sports. So let's hit the next topic, man. As we mentioned at the top, the World Series is actually going on right now as we're recording. At the time of this recording, Game 1 is being played. Dallas Keuchel is on the mound for Houston, and on the mound for the L.A. Dodgers is your man Clayton Kershaw. The game is tied 1-1 as we record. So let's start right there. Your predictions, man. Who's going to win the World Series and in how many games?
I got the Dodgers winning in six games.
Okay.
Yep. I think they can pull it off, man. I even though I like Astros pitching too, though, but I don't know. I think as far as just hitting wise, that Dodgers is dangerous, man. So the Astros pitchers better stuff. They got a lot of guys they can go to in the bullpen too. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out. I'm really interested to see how this World Series play out. So, hey, you know, this is the time where I really watch like baseball. Like I really watch a baseball game from the beginning to the end. It's during the postseason. So this is exciting. It, you know, it got me want to go back out there and play some dang on baseball. my shortstop days.
Any ill feelings? I mean, you guys got rid of Verlander, but Verlander's been, I mean, he was the MVP of the ALCS, man. Any ill feelings toward Verlander as he throws now for Houston?
No, I mean, you know, we had two World Series with him. You know, he got us to the World Series. We just couldn't close it out, man, the two World Series we played in. But no. You know, no, he handled it with class, and you know, he still does, you know, does something for the community in Detroit. So that, you know, that's dope. So, you know, shout out to Verlander.
Okay. What about you, Ken? Who wins the World Series and in how many games?
Yeah, I'm with B on this one. I'm picking the Dodgers too. I think their starting rotation, I mean, it's pretty elite, man. They've been really good all year. And then they have the ability to also put runs on the board. We know that earlier this year we were talking about them when they were on their Warriors run, and I think we jinxed them because they couldn't win a game afterwards.
They did. We might have.
But it was pretty bad, but I think that was a moment. Kershaw got hurt. A couple of guys got hurt, so that was a moment for them to kind of go through their slump, and they've come out of it, and they're playing really, really good baseball right now. So you got Kershaw on the mound, who seemed to have fixed his postseason woes. They got Alex Wood. They got Yu Darvish, who came over in a trade this year, who pitched well in the last series. They got Rich Hill, who can go out there and spin the ball on them. And then I think if they need a fifth starter, Madea, Ryu probably be coming off the bench. Kenley Jansen will close it out. But then on top of that, you got Cody Bellinger, who is one of my favorite players in baseball. I like him a lot. And then they got Chris Taylor, who came out of nowhere, Justin Turner, and a guy who's making a name for himself in the postseason, man, Yasiel Puig, FIFO's boy. So, and I'm happy for him. But I think we'll see. Like, we often hear, you know, great pitching beats great hitting. And we'll see that because the Astros have the highest scoring offense in baseball. Chris Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Gurriel. Like, them boys can hit, man. They got Gattis, who can pop one out. So they got a lot of firepower. And we'll see how this turns out. But Kershaw should be able to put one on the board and maybe two. Now, look, the Astros got some pitching too. Keuchel, Morton, McCullers.
And, of course, Verlander.
And Verlander. So, man, like this should be a really, really great postseason filled with hopefully clutch hitting, awesome pitching. And maybe we'll get a shootout before the series is over. But we got two teams that we know the Dodgers haven't won since 88. When was the last time the Astros won a World Series?
Should have looked that up. Ken, to be honest, I don't know that they have.
The World Series.
I'm sure they've been, but we might have been little. It's been that long. I mean, like, I can't – I'll look it up, but I can't remember.
Yeah, and both teams have 100 wins, man. Like, crazy.
Yeah, both so teams this is over 100 wins. This is the first time that's happened, I think, since, like, 1970.
Yeah, so this is a great moment for baseball, man. So I think everybody should just kind of just sit back and just enjoy this and watch what happens. So, I'm looking forward to having a new World Series champion outside of the Cardinals.
right.
You know, the Giants, all those random teams that seem to make it to the postseason. We got 200 teams going neck-to-neck, toe-to-toe, blow-for-blow. So let's get it. I got the Dodgers.
Yeah, I
In seven.
Okay. I got the Dodgers in seven, too. For those of you listening who may or may not watch a lot of baseball, just to kind of bring it into context of what Ken and B have said, in these two teams, in the Dodgers and the Astros, what you have is you have the Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers from the NBA. You have the two best teams in the game. So, and I don't want to say it's rare, but it hasn't really happened like this where you have these, you know, the two of the better teams, two of the best teams going, you know, teams one and two going head to head. In the biggest series for baseball, the Fall Classic, if you will. But I like LA's pitching. The Dodgers really, as you guys know, I'm a Yankees fan, so I've got a chance to see, obviously, a whole bunch of the Astros here recently. And for one, it's always kind of bugged out to me, really, just to even think of the Astros as an American League team because I grew up with them being in the National League. I think this is going to be a great series. I think both teams have great pitching on both sides. Both teams have great hitting. Wherein I think like the Yankees are a team that really, I don't want to say relied, but they a lot of their, you know, juice, if you will, came from getting home runs and stuff. And the games that they didn't get a lot of home runs, they didn't really do a great job of manufacturing runs. I think the Astros are the opposite. They don't necessarily have to. They got like Ken said, they have guys that can take it out of the park, but they don't necessarily have to knock it out of the park just to manufacture runs. This guy Jose Altuve is unreal. They say he's 5'6". He looks like he's about 5'4". And he is arguably the best player in baseball. To be honest, as I watched the series with them and the Yankees, I hated every time he came up to plate, because every time he came to the plate, he was getting a hit almost every time. So, and if he had runners in scoring position, he was bringing people home. And one of the first things that I noticed about Jose Altuve was that he was very aggressive at the plate, particularly on the first pitch. He wasn't going to allow Yankees pitchers to do, you know, to just throw strikes to him on that first pitch. And I think, you know, the Dodgers are going to be in for the same thing. I think on the other side, the Dodgers, like you said, Ken, they have a lineup that, you know, they can kind of beat you in so many different ways. They're going to manufacture runs. They're going to knock in runs. They're going to hit home runs, and they're going to get guys on base, and they're going to get going. So I'm looking forward to this being a long series. As I mentioned at the top, game one is being played right now. They said at the beginning of the game, it's 103 degrees at Dodger Stadium. I can't imagine playing a baseball game in 103 degrees. I can't imagine being a fan watching a playoff game in 103 degrees, but the stadium's jumping. I think it's going to be the same when they get back to Houston. Of course, that city has been through so much, and they really, really rallied around their teams. And to be honest, over the last couple of weeks, I've seen, you know, a lot of people on Twitter who follow me, and I follow them, from Houston, who may or may not necessarily be baseball fans, but they've gotten behind the hometown team. So it's good to see, like Ken said, a team like the Dodgers, who haven't been there in a while, be in. And it's almost like you're getting some fresh blood. You don't have the Yankees, or you don't have the Cardinals or the Giants, the teams like that, who have traditionally won. But I think it's going to be a great series, man. I'm looking. I think home field will prevail at some point, and I think the Dodgers – you know, I think the Dodgers win in seven, and you know, if for no other reason, Ken, we got to pull for the Dodgers because they got a brother managing, and we pro brother. So,
damn right.
Not to mention, when they played the when the starting lineups were introduced, well, actually, when the teams were introduced, the Dodgers PA public announcer, they played "Hip Hop Is Dead" from Nas, so the instrumental. So, if you can play hip hop, introduce your players. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. So hopefully it's a great World Series. I think we got two great teams, and hopefully it'll play out into that. Let's take it to the NFL, man. There's some surprise teams. There's some teams that are not playing up to their capability. But I want to get you guys' opinion on whether or not you're buying or selling some teams. I'll start first with the Jaguars. Ken, Jaguars, their defense recorded 10 sacks this past Sunday. It was against the Colts, but hey, 10 sacks is 10 sacks. Wow. Are you buying or selling the Jaguars, man?
All right, so for people that's listening for the first time, I'm not watching the NFL. I'm boycotting. But I have been looking at the box scores. Got to check on my fantasy football team. I know that don't make sense, but it's a long story. Anyway, no, I'm not buying the Jaguars. I think that defense is legit.
Yes.
But Coughlin's not the coach. No, Marone. Is he?
No, Marone. Coughlin's in the front office.
Okay. In Jacksonville,
I think,
right?
I think Marone's the head coach.
Because they signed we can't keep up. Yeah, they signed two defensive players, I think, in the offseason. AJ Bouye, and I think somebody else. But either way it go, I think that defense is definitely legit, as you already spoke to. 10 sacks, like you said, is 10 sacks. And when you're playing a team like the Colts, you should get 10-plus sacks. So no, but what I am buying from that team is Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette is the absolute truth. Nobody, and I will say this again, nobody is talking about Leonard Fournette, and they should. I think this is atrocious. I know the Jaguars are the Jaguars, and they don't have superstars, and they're not good for ratings. But when you got a guy with his skill, with his ability, he's freaking Adrian Peterson, it seems like, all over again. And he deserves some respect. So people need to, and I'm going to continue to say this until it's done. People need to talk about Leonard Fournette, because you don't come in the NFL like that and just do what you did, especially the way it looked like he was getting shut down in college at times when they stacked the box. This dude running away from people. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys go. All I'm going to say is this. I'm going to end with this. Go check the highlights. Just go check the highlights and look at some of Leonard Fournette's runs. He's running away from people, and he's running over people. That's what you want in your running back.
Oh, no question. Yeah, Ken, I was right. Doug Marrone is the head coach.
Okay.
B, what about you, man? Jacksonville Jaguars, you buying or selling them?
Selling. I just think they just happened to ball out against a subpar team and the Colts. But I didn't know their defense was for real like that. I've always been interested in what Leonard Fournette, because I know when he was in LSU, he was like a man's amongst boys in college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I already knew he was going to be like NFL ready. And he's proven that. Just like same way with A. Peterson when he was at Oklahoma. I was like, man, that dude is NFL ready. And he's proven that. So, I think overall they just, you know, Blake Bortles is not panning out like I thought he would. I thought when Blake Bortles came out of college, I thought he was going to be NFL ready. He had a decent year. I think it was the year before last. And, you know, he hasn't really improved or got better since then. So, you know, I'm selling. They're not consistent enough for me. So I'm selling them on them right now.
Yeah, I too, I'm selling them. I like this defense. I think they've, and the cool part about this defense is that they're relatively young. So, you know that if they can keep the squad together for a few years, that they can, you know, really, really get after people. The problem is, like Ken said, hey, you got a great defense, or at least a very good defense that can stop people, that can turn the ball over, that can, get after the quarterback or what have you. You've got a stud at running back. I know he's a little banged up with his ankle injury, but when healthy, you know, Leonard Fournette is one of the best in this rookie class, and should be getting a lot of recognition for rookie of the year. Then it comes to the quarterback. I don't trust Blake Bortles. I just don't. I mean, like, he is one of the quarterbacks when I mentioned, you know, at the top about bad quarterback play. He was one of them too. I mean, he has not played well and he won't play well. I don't trust that he will play well. And I think what's going to happen is I could see this team winning the division. And then obviously when you get out of this division into the playoffs and you have to play against better teams and better competition, you got to put up points. And ultimately teams are going to stack the box and they're going to, you know, try to shut Leonard Fournette down. And they're going to say, hey, Blake Bortles, go throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and beat us. And he can't do it. So not buying him. I mean, I'm just selling. Now let's flip it over to the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills, man, right now they're sitting at 4-2, just a game behind the New England Patriots at 5-2. I don't think a lot of people thought that Buffalo would be in this position. Can you buy or sell the Bills?
No, absolutely not. They don't have receivers, man. I mean, they have a okay quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, but they haven't managed to take advantage of their talent, if they have any. I don't think they have any. They got a couple of rookies. Zay Jones, I think, is one they drafted, and a couple of other guys. What's that guy? Jordan Matthews, I think.
Mm-hmm. Came over from Philly.
Yeah, but they haven't really been able to do much with them. So, and then I don't like the way they're using LeSean McCoy. You guys are killing me in fantasy football. Give him the ball.
It always comes back to fantasy.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, his lack of production. Maybe they're trying to save him for late in the season. I don't know. But nah, I'm not buying them yet. I think the offense is anemic, but the defense is pretty good, and the defense have managed to get them the wins that they have so far.
What about you, B? Buffalo Bills, you buying or selling them?
I might be buying them. It seems like Tyrod Taylor might be getting the groove. But I do agree with Ken, though. They need to start using McCoy a lot more. Run the rock. He's still an elite back. You know, it's not like he's a back that's just take, you know, averaging 30 carries a game and like that. Still use them. Use them on them third down, them formations where you can put them in the slot. Still use Sean McCoy. still use Shady, though. Shady can still ball, but I think I might be buying them. I might be, and just the fact that they in the I guess a weak division, but Miami's been playing good right now. So you know, it might be a little tougher than what we think or get credit for, but I don't know. I might be buying Buffalo. I don't know. And as it's starting to get colder now, Buffalo plays better when it's getting colder. So, you know, I might. There might be like a reach, but I think I'm buying them.
You know what, man? That division has traditionally been, you know, whack. But you know, the Patriots are sitting at 5-2. Buffalo and the Dolphins, surprisingly, are at 4-2. And then you got the Jets at 3-4. So, I think Tyrod is playing much, much better. I think that they are really, really starting to kind of let him get loose. That defense is dope. I'm not buying the Bills. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not buying the Bills. Because the Bills do this every year. At least to me, it seems that way. They do this every year. Like, it's a situation where they get off to a hot start. And then they, you know, go lemon booty at the back half of the season. So I'm not buying them. I got to see it. I got to see them do it long term, man. It's just I haven't seen them do it long term. If they do it and, you know, prove me to be wrong, then, you know, I'll come on here and admit when I'm wrong. But it just seems like this is a every year thing. It just seems that way. Now, I could be wrong. But, you know, the Bills, like I said, they're off to a great start, and we'll see how it goes. Taking it to the NFC East, Kim, the Philadelphia Eagles, as I mentioned at the top, man, they got a big win last night against the Washington Redskins. They've actually swept the series for the Redskins. So right now, the Eagles are sitting pretty. They look like they could be the best team, one of the best teams in the NFC. And at a 6-1 record, they have the best record in the NFL. So you buying and selling the Eagles?
Ooh, this is a good one. Selling.
Okay.
I think I'm selling. I don't know about the receivers. The defense has been okay. Carson Wentz has been able to stay upright for the most part so far, but he just lost Peters. We'll see how that impacts him. Quarterbacks are good when they can stand on their feet. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks that's like Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton to where, you know, you can make do behind a poor offensive line. So we'll see how it goes so far, but I don't know, man. They're winning games but they seem very methodical. They're not like really blowing. They don't seem dominant, and that's what I like to look for in a team. So I think I'm gonna sell on them for now.
B, what about you, man? Like I said, Philadelphia Eagles have the best record in the NFL at 6-1. Devastating injury for Jason Peters, and I forgot to mention, they also lost their linebacker, Jordan Hicks. He's out for the season too, I think, with a torn pec, I think. You buying or selling this team?
I was buying until those injuries. I think I might be selling because you a right-handed quarterback. Losing your left tackle, that's bad. And he's like a solidified left tackle. Like, he's a good left tackle, and you lose him. He's out for the season. Yeah, all right. And then you also lose a key defensive player. That's going to hurt. I think, you know, it could be a situation where things could turn for the worse for Philadelphia. You know, for the Eagles. I would hate for that to happen, but like I said, until those injuries, if those injuries didn't occur, I'd have been buying. I'd have been on board. That'd have been my team. I would have changed to take the NFC East instead of Washington. But I mean, yeah, Washington still played pretty good. I think they still look all right. I think they can still make the playoffs. I'm selling. I think, unfortunately, with those injuries, I'm selling.
I'm going to buy the Eagles for right now. I like the way that Carson Wentz is playing. I think he's made the progression. 'Cause a lot of times we all know, there's either a drop off or a jump from year one to year two.
Yep.
And he looks like the real deal. I know we're about halfway through the season, but he looks like the real deal. I too am concerned about them losing Peters. You know, with Peters going down, and I think Peters is like 35, 36 years old. This, in all honesty, could be it for him. I'm not sure. We definitely wish him a speedy recovery. Losing Jordan Hicks, their middle linebacker, that hurts as well. But I like the way that they get after it. And honestly, somebody has to win this division. Dallas is behind them at 3-3. And I think it's probably going to be the Eagles to win the division because the Giants are a train wreck. Dallas still has the looming of the decision on Ezekiel Elliott. They've tied it up in the courts these last couple of weeks. As we know, Zeke Elliott will be able to play week 8 this upcoming week. But then I think it's headed back to courts. And I think at some point in time in the season, Ezekiel Elliott's going to have to serve that 6-game suspension. So somebody has to win a division. Now, how Philadelphia stacks up against the rest of the NFC or the AFC, I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that. But right now, yeah, I'm buying. I'll buy them. Let's move on to the NBA. As we're talking about, you know, teams and what have you, a lot of youth and a lot of youthful players right now that are really being highlighted and spotlighted in the NBA. We're a week into the season. So let's talk about a couple of teams, man. I want to get you guys' opinion on the Timberwolves and the Sixers. Some young up-and-coming teams that we have in the NBA. So, B, I'll start first with you. Let's start with the Timberwolves, man. How good can this team be?
I think Timberwolves can be good. I think I predicted them before being the playoff squad, and I think that's not going to change. Now, where they fall in the playoffs as far as how good they can be, I'm not sure. Still super early, but I mean, I think this team is the way I've seen from what I've seen from them already. They definitely look like a playoff contender team out in the West. Like, I can definitely see them they can be one of them teams where they can still lose in the first round, but you don't want to see them though. You still don't want to go through that battle in the first round against the Minnesota Timberwolves because, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins seem like he kind of stepping up. I don't know if it's that Jimmy Butler in his head. You know, how you get that extra veteran crafty guy on your team and Jimmy Butler. I think sometimes that can help. So, yeah, man, I forgot they got Jeff Teague as the PGs. That's why I think they can definitely be a playoff contending team in the West just based off what I saw already from
them. Yeah, of course. They had a big win this past week over OKC with Andrew Wiggins hitting the game winning shot. At the buzzer, a three-pointer. Ken, what about you, man? The T-Wolves, man, how good can this team be?
I don't know, man. I watched them play, and it still looks like they're trying to figure some things out. I did, like, you know, they lucked up and won that game against OKC. There was another game they managed to win late, which I think kind of speaks to what we were talking about in one of our previous shows, where that veteran leadership can help, you know, teams stabilize themselves in the fourth quarter when the games get tight. The fact is they have won two close games, and that was one of the things that they struggled with last year. So I have to give them credit for that. But will they be good enough to win enough games in the West to make the playoffs like I once thought? I'm not quite so sure yet. Yeah, we'll see. But I do like their upside. Yeah, I definitely do like their upside.
Yeah, I like this team, man. I think as we talked about on the previous NBA preview, I like this team. I think this team can definitely make the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs. They have a really good young nucleus, and I think if they learn to play together, I think that's usually one of the things that really kind of helps, having success early and learning how to play together and play off of each other. I think they'll be fine. I think even beyond this season, if you look at, you know, with them, contract wise. I think they've got good contracts. Wiggins just locked into his long-term deal. I'm assuming that Karl Towns should be coming up on his deal. Jimmy Butler is locked in for the next couple of years. So it won't be a situation where with those three guys where, you know, it's the possibility of them leaving. I think if they can have some success and if the cap keeps going up, you know, it could be a situation where you can keep them. And I think really when we look at the next wave of teams, I'd like to think that this team is in the next wave of teams. And a lot of what's predicated on the next wave of those teams is 2-3 years from now. You got to figure that, you know, the Warriors' dominance won't be where it is now because, you know, they're going to lose some of their components, but and they're going to get older. But I think what happens is these some of these other younger teams, as they develop and learn how to play better and play together, if they can stay together and, you know, avoid the, you know, growing pains, if you will, you know, this is a team that can definitely be a team to be reckoned with, I think. And I think the cool part about it is that having lived and worked in the Twin Cities as I have in the past, they love basketball up there. They love it, but they haven't had, you know, a lot to cheer about really since Steph and KG left. You know, they've had decent players, but, you know, the Twin Cities, you know, they love their baseball. They love their hockey, obviously. But it's a really good basketball city too. And I think really with this young nucleus, they are really, really ready to get behind this team. So I'm excited for the city, but I'm also excited for those players. If they can keep it together, man, I really like this team going forward. Now, conversely, Ken, what about the Sixers? We got some news that Markelle Fultz, the number one pick, he got his shoulder drained at it, which I'd never heard before today. I've heard of getting your knee drained. I never heard of getting your shoulder drained. But I read a report right before we came to start recording that, you know, he can't even lift his arm above his shoulders. So he's out right now. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's out. But this team, and you almost have to always preface this by talking about the injuries, but how good, if healthy, how good can this team, this Sixers team be?
Definitely a playoff team, maybe even good enough to get out of the first round, but they are extremely young, and it would depend on Brett Brown's coaching and how well Ben Simmons develop. You know, as a player, this is really his first year playing in the NBA at a high level. While OB has some games under his belt, so we can expect him to kind of just add on to what he did last year. But, you know, they started off rocky. Think they lost their first three. They beat Detroit, and I watched that game. That was the Ben Simmons' first career triple-double in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And they played really, really well. And there were a couple of things I liked about what I saw from that game. I liked the fact that they actually looked like they were running an offense. They were not just out there running around playing. It looked like they had set plays and they were running the plays. So that was very good to see, especially with a young nucleus like that. The other thing that I liked about what I saw from them in that win was I liked the fact that the game got close. Like, okay. I think they had a 17-18-point lead, and Detroit came back and got the game to within four. And they showed a lot of poise down the stretch. Like, they didn't tighten up. They didn't get nervous. They continued to play the game. And the other thing about that is that Brett Brown actually didn't have some of his key guys in. Like, Fultz was out there. Luwu, whatever his name is, was out there. I think Covington. You know, Ben Simmons and Embiid, I think, at that time were on the bench, like, in the fourth quarter. And then he brought them in, and they kind of just closed it out. So yeah, they played with a lot of poise, and I was really impressed by that. And I think this team is definitely driven by Embiid and Ben Simmons. And Embiid did the Akeem pump fake at the top of the key. And I was like – and he had so many moves, man. Like, and what I liked is that they kept going to him. Like, they would come down – Yeah, man, and he would just post up on, and every time he would go to the same spot, and they would give it to him. And Ben Simmons, like, it's just crazy that they're playing as point guard. Bayless just gives the ball to him.
Isn't that crazy? I saw that coming.
We heard it, but we still had to see it. Best passing in the NBA. Not yet.
And that other voice that you hear is our boy Fico. Fico, what up, man?
Yo, what up?
Chilling. So yeah, that what we're talking about right now. Did we get B's comments on that on the Sixers? I don't think we did. B, how good can this Sixers team be?
They can be really good. You know, my whole thing with the Sixers has just been healthy. All of them need to stay healthy, man, and just they need to get this playing together under their belt. All of them really haven't played together yet. I mean, especially Ben Simmons and Embiid. So it's like these guys have to stay healthy and play. But I mean, we've all said this, myself, people. I mean, this team be healthy and stay and ball out this year, they can be a dangerous team in the East. They'd be one, like I said, same thing with Minnesota, but even more so with the Sixers. You know, they can possibly be a first round exit, but they'd be a team you do not want to see. Right. Like you'd be like that 2 or 3 seed, be like, damn, we got the Sixers. it's about to be one of them series. So they're a team that you do not want to have on your schedule or matching up for a 7-game series come playoff time. So yeah, I think Sixers can be very dangerous, man. I like them. I mean, I'm rooting for them to do good, man. I just want them to stay healthy, man. That's all I want them to do, because I don't want to label Embiid Greg Oden. I don't want to give him the Greg Oden. So, you know, and Simmons, that boy, Ken, that's the star of the team. I don't know why you think Embiid is the star and Ben Simmons the sidekick. Ben Simmons is going
to we'll get to Simmons in just a second.
Ben Simmons is on the show at Philly.
Oh, no doubt. FIFA, what about you, man? Sixers, how good can this team be?
This team can be as good as a playoff team, but I think that's their ceiling this year, because at the end of the day, you still need experience. The teams that win in the NBA have experience. They're veteran teams. They look at the first two games. What was their second game? I can't remember who their second game was, but I was watching the game. I've been watching for I got NBA League Pass this year. I had to. Me and Ken was talking about it. You got to get NBA League Pass.
Too much time.
But I was watching the second game down the stretch. They had about 3 passes that were deflected that resulted against Washington. That's what they were playing. And down the stretch, they had about 2 or 3 passes that were deflected. That comes down to execution and experience. They don't have it yet. They're going to struggle against those teams that we already know are playoff guaranteed. Those teams know how to execute down the stretch. They're still young, but Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are that good that they can overcome a lot of that. But those top-tier teams, they just won't know how to close them out. They, like I've always said, in basketball, you need to get your ass whooped once or twice for you to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
It just happens.
It happens,
this past playoffs, me and B went to Twin Peaks in Buckhead, and we was watching Giannis. And Giannis was going crazy. But Giannis wasn't this Giannis right now. He needed to take that L against the Raptors the way they did, because didn't they steal game 1 or game 2 in Toronto?
Yeah, they stole game. Yep, they did.
Right? So Giannis like, nah, man, that can't happen no more. Look at what Giannis, 36.8, you know, 10.5 rebounds, 5.
Dude, that guy get a jumper, man. Oh, my God.
Man, it's a wrap. And can we please talk about the Pelicans? Because I've been watching them too, and they're crazy. The two bigs, the way that they're playing, these guys look like guards out there. They're getting it off the board, pushing it up, making plays.
Yeah, yo, that's nuts.
Like, yo, the NBA is crazy right now. Like, we know Golden State, they've accumulated the most talent wins in the NBA. We get it. But the regular season is not just a throwaway. You know, I hate when other media just pegs it like, oh, it's only about the playoffs. Of course the playoffs matter the most. But if you are a true fan, this season is ridiculous. These young guys are ready to play. Old faces, new places. Like, there's just so much going on that this is the best league in the world right now. Nobody can argue me that right now.
True indeed, true indeed. Now, we mentioned Ben Simmons. Well, actually, let me give you my take on the Sixers. I think I agree with you guys. I think the Sixers can be good. I think, you know, the thing, like what you guys said, is that, you know, obviously they have to learn how to play together. You know, they're not good enough where they can just rely on their talent or athleticism. It doesn't work that way at this level when you're that young. But that young nucleus, obviously, you know, with Simmons and with Fultz and obviously Embiid, you know, those three right there really can carry this team to new heights. And Philadelphia fans have something to be excited for. I'm concerned about the fact that Embiid is not, either he's not in a place or the organization doesn't feel like he's in a place where he can play back-to-back games. He's already on a minute limitation, and given the fact that he's not playing back-to-back games, he even said it himself that, you know, he doesn't feel like he's really, really contributing to the team until he gets to that point where they can feel like they can, you know, bring him as far as a back-to-back. I can understand and appreciate where he's coming from in that aspect. He wants to really feel like he's contributing. I mean, he really is, but but Philadelphia looks good, man. If they can, you know, it's going to take some time. There are going to be moments where they really look like world beaters, and it's going to be some times where they look like they don't have a clue. As we mentioned, Markelle Fultz, his agent is now saying that he got fluid put into his shoulder, not drained from his shoulder. So now his agent is kind of switching up the story. At this point, I don't know what to believe. All I know is reports of him not being able to put his arms above his shoulder. I mean, his arms above his head. That's disturbing because it's his shooting shoulder. So you need to be able to put the ball and your arms above your head. So hopefully he gets better, you know, much, much faster. So let's take it to Ben Simmons. Vivo, you just mentioned he, you know, had his first triple double. This guy is 6'10", 6'11". They have him running the point guard right now. I'm sure he's going to run even more considering the fact that we're looking at, well, we don't know what kind of timetable they have on Fultz, but Fultz right now is not playing. And he's going to be out, you know, at least for the foreseeable future. Could it be a couple of games? Could it be a couple of weeks? We don't know. But Ben Simmons, talk to the people about Ben Simmons as far as where you think he is right now.
Ben Simmons is going to be the new face of the NBA. This, you know how we talk about day one ready guys. Hey, Kane, you can talk. You can mumble and do whatever you want underneath your breath over there, man. Ben Simmons is going to be the new face of the NBA. Ben Simmons is something like we have not seen before. I'm not going to say he's going to redefine, but this guy is super special, man. And if he reaches his potential, he's going to be one of the all-timers. He's going to be one of the all-timers. This guy in his fourth game has already gotten a triple-double. He's gotten 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists in each of his first 4 games, only been done by Oscar Robertson. Like, this guy is the real deal Holyfield. And wait till he continues to develop. Like, it's scary. This guy is scary. And to me, you know what I've come to learn with all my years of watching basketball? I'm not scared of the guy that's super relentless, wants to score. I'm scared of the guy that wants to make everybody else better. That's the guy that's scary. Because if he also knows how to turn it on, like a lot of them do, Magic did, Bron does, you know, most times, you know, his clutch numbers are crazy. That's the guy I'm scared of. Because now it's not just him, it's everybody else around him, right? I would always want to start to build a championship or a franchise with that guy. And Philly has that guy. And I think he's going to be the best at his position for years to come. You know, we're going to talk about the Giannis. You know, there's other guys that got drafted, other guys to come. But Ben Simmons, I think, is going to set the standard post-LeBron at that position, doing what they do.
True indeed, true indeed. Ken, your thoughts on Ben Simmons?
I like Ben Simmons. I like what I saw. Like I said, I watched that game from start to finish because I wanted to see how this triple-double went down. I didn't get a chance to watch it that night. League Pass. Shout out to League Pass. No commercials. But but yeah, man, and he played very composed, under control, very mature, and it was impressive. But watching that game, it hit me. He's light-skinned LeBron. He's diet LeBron. Like, but without the physicality and without the aggression, like, which was a criticism, I mean, if you want to call it that, that, you know, I had of him in college. Like, I saw him once, like, yell out, like, after he made a play. Like, it was once. I think the game got close. He showed a little bit of emotion. But, when, yeah, he's going to run the point guard position. He's going to be the guy. They're going to promote him. They're going to push him. He's going to put up stats. He's going to do a lot of things, and I think definitely think his shooting is going to improve. And I like the adjustment, you know, that I've seen that he made. Like, when he goes to the basket, you know, instead of really shooting a jump, he kind of does a little hook, which he seems to have perfected. So he's really good at that. But, yeah, the reason why I think that Embiid's going to be the guy is not because of attitude, but it's because, like, you can't stop him. Like, you legit can't stop this guy. And that pick and roll that they were running, that for whatever reason Detroit was leaving Embiid at the top of the key, like, they haven't seen this guy shoot threes, is going to be lethal, because he shoots threes like he a freaking guard. But Embiid has moves after moves after moves, man, and he takes up so much space. And he's literally right now, it just seems like he's literally unguardable. And I think he can be the engine that make that whole system go for Philadelphia. And Embiid could be, I mean, and Ben Simmons could be like what he's doing now, the facilitator, you know, to kind of get everybody involved. Like you said, Ralph, making everybody better. But are you going to be the guy to take over the game? I don't know if that's in him yet, and that's why I'm reluctant to say he's going to be that superstar.
But this sounds like LeBron all over again.
LeBron wasn't like this when he first started out. LeBron was aggressive. You remember his first game?
Yeah, he had like 25 and 20, 10 and 5 or something like that.
And to be fair to
LeBron. 25 and 5.
Okay, 25 and 5.
And to be fair to LeBron, it's not like he didn't have as much talent as Ben Simmons has, so he had to be a lot more aggressive. But yeah, LeBron was.
Wait, you don't think LeBron was as talented as Ben Simmons is right now?
No, I said he didn't have as much talent around him. But oh, okay. No, LeBron was way more talented than Ben Simmons.
Yeah, okay, I was about to hang up on you.
Ben Simmons. And that's why I call him a diet LeBron. You know, unless he's underutilized, and you tell me, Raph, because you've been on this dude for a minute, is he underutilizing his physical gifts?
I think the difference between LeBron and Ben Simmons year one, LeBron is more athletic than Ben. LeBron is more of a guard. He moves more like a guard than Ben Simmons, yeah. Even though Ben Simmons, I didn't know he was that fast with the rock. But yeah. Bron moves quicker with the rock than Ben does. But Ben has better handle. And LeBron had a better jump shot with more range at this point. So it allowed him to attack from multiple levels. If you watch Ben Simmons, he attacks three-point line in. He attacks you on the drive. They run plays to get him in the post. They treat him as a big. You know, say even though he's running point out there a lot, you know, setting up the play, being a playmaker, a la LeBron. But even early LeBron had more range on his jump shot. So I think that's the biggest difference, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing LeBron being able to move a little bit better, quicker, and you're seeing LeBron being able to shoot from distance better at this stage than Ben Simmons. But I think Ben will get that. All of the greats develop consistent jumpers and more range. It's just that's what history has taught us. So I'm not going to go against that for somebody that I know is going to put in the work. You know, like he's already ingratiating himself with inside of LeBron James' camp. You know, he's already Nike. Like he's already Rich Paul. Like, he's already, like, we already know what road he's on. And all he has to do is just follow the road. It's already been set.
Well, best passer in the NBA. Like, I just saw a couple of passes by LeBron tonight that I think Ben Simmons could probably make those passes, but I don't know. LeBron can pass that rock, man. Like,
of course.
I don't think Ben Simmons got that just yet.
Here's the thing. That's a lot of me talking smack. That's a lot of me talking smack. The difference is LeBron just has more experience. He's seen more things. Valid. You know what I'm saying? Like this guy, he's a savant. You know what I'm saying? He knows everything. So of course there's certain paths. It's like Aaron Rodgers. There's just certain things that he's seen. Plus he's the only like a handful of players that can make those type passes. When Ben gets more of that experience, I think we've only seen four games. Like we can't say that this guy's comfortable. This is the first. This is like watching a baby walk for the first. Like everything is brand new. Let this guy like play against Washington two times already, and then he's about to play him the third time. You know what I'm saying? Like let him get something up underneath him. But we'll see. We'll see, because he's made some passes that are like, whoa.
Who's
this guy? So
I'm impressed by just his composure, man. Like, it looks like he's been playing this game for years. And I like Lonzo, when Lonzo's out there, Lonzo looked frightened.
Hey, because Eric Beverly shut him down.
Patrick, get it right.
I'm sorry, Patrick Beverly. What about you, B? Ben Simmons, man. Your thoughts on Ben Simmons?
Oh, I think Ben Simmons is a real deal, man. I seen him make some passes preseason and regular season where it reminds me of the great Jason Kidd and Magic Johnson, man, how he zipped those passes, pinpoint precision. I was like, wow. Like, I've never seen that from a guy his size like that making those type of passes since LeBron James. But, I mean, like I said, even Jason Kidd-ish, he just reminded me of a 6'10 version of Jason Kidd, and that's pretty dangerous. We all know Jason Kidd is first ballot Hall of Fame level type point guard, and that's what Ben Simmons was reminding me of, man, when I was watching him make those passes, man. I love it. And, you know, I like to see that he uses his size when he go up against pretty much almost any point guard, any person to try to check him. He try to use his size to kind of get easy buckets, man. I love that. I love that he's using his size to be like, look, this dude can't guard me. Just give it to me down here, and I'm going to go ahead and make a quick little hook shot. Bam, we in. So I love that he's using his size to kind of get big on these smaller guards that's going to be checking him pretty much for the majority of his career. Unless you throw some forwards out there to try to guard him, but yeah, I like that, man. I think Simmons, I think he's gonna be real deal. Look, granted, he stays healthy. I think Simmons is gonna be that dude, man. Just like LeBron and all the other like athletic 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" guys, once he develop a consistent jump shot, it don't have to be Ray Allen 3 jump shot, but just a good little 15 to like 18 foot jump shot with an occasional 3 here and there. That's going to improve due time. All the players are going to improve on that jump shot because they know that's one facet of their game that needs to improve. So it's going to improve in due time. Ben Simmons is going to, just like Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd had a respectable jump shot towards the end of his career. LeBron James' jump shot has gotten better over the years. I remember he was just known for just an athletic attacker that knew how to pass the rock. But he ended up developing a jump shot, a respectable jump shot. So it's going to come, man. I think same thing with Giannis. I think Giannis is going to have a good jump shot as well. He's going to have to develop one as well. You can work on that. You can get better with that. Everything else is just natural for Ben Simmons, man. Passing, court vision, that's just stuff you just can't coach. Ben Simmons just has that to a T.
Yeah, I like Ben Simmons. I like his game. Having to sit out last year, I think will help him. I think he was able to see a lot. Unfortunately he saw a lot of them losing, but he also, it probably made him be that much more hungrier to come back, and to come back better than ever. And he looks like the real deal. And, again, as I mentioned with this injury to Fultz, you just don't know how it's going to play. But, I think the way that he's developing and the way that he's coming along so far, the sky's the limit for this dude. And he can, if the jumper gets, if I don't want to say if, when the jumper gets consistent, look out, man. I mean, pick your poison, because he can get to the basket so quickly and so effortlessly. You know, what can you, you almost have to pick your poison. It's like, okay, do you want him to shoot, or do you want him, you know, to try to play him for the drive? So, yeah, man, I like Ben Simmons' game. I think, you know, a lot of, again, it's going to be predicated on the health of those, not just him, but, you know, his two wingmen, if you will, in Embiid and Fultz. But yeah, man, the dude is solid. I mean, triple double this fast says a lot. And I think, you know, this is the first of many. I don't think it's going to be a situation where this is going to be his last triple double. Trust me when I tell you that. Now, we mentioned Giannis, the Greek Freak. B, your thoughts on the Greek Freak right now?
Oh, man, I think he's really paying attention, and he's really listening, taking heed to Kobe's tweet during his offseason talking about MVP, because dude is playing unworldly like right now. And all he needs to do, if he keep playing at this level for the next, you know, 79 games, and long as they are like a top three, maybe four seed team, that he's going to be the MVP. Playing like this, it's incredible. I'm loving it. And like I tweeted y'all earlier, if this dude develops some type of jump shot, man, look out. It's scary. That dude is going to be so scary in this league. Me and FIFA have been talking about that dude. Man, like, as scary as that. Last year, like people said, we went and saw the playoffs. Watch the playoffs. Like, that dude is going to be scary. Like, just the sky is such a limit, because he already has a high motor. You know, mm-hmm. He's athletic. He's committed on both sides of the ball. It's not like he's just an offensive-minded player only. He's committed on the defense. He like to light guys up, too, and block shots and get steals and stuff, too. So, man, this dude got all the tools, man. He can be scary. Even Durant. Kevin Durant even said it. That guy can be scary. And this is someone who's already freaking scary in this league.
right.
And you got someone like Kevin Durant saying that this guy is scary? Scary. That's crazy, though. That just shows you Giannis is that dude, man. And you know what? Just because Kobe tweeted that to him, I hope he does get the MVP. I hope he get it.
True indeed. What about you, Ken? Greek Freak, man. Where are you at on him?
You know, it's amazing how a guy who in his rookie year put up almost 7 points a game and 4 rebounds has turned into, at the time of this recording, a 36-10-5 player. Like, he's gotten better every year. He's been in the league 4 years. And this is his fifth year. And he's definitely talented. He could do it all. And he seems to have the drive and the hunger to be the best player. And I think that is always needed. And, you know, we were just talking about Ben Simmons. And, man, if Ben Simmons improves, like, if you can forecast Ben Simmons 5 years from now, you know, and he improves his game the way Greek Freak has, then, yeah, look out. Based on what he's doing now, because he's averaging more than 6-4 in his rookie year. I like him. He's talented. I'm just not all the way there with B and Ralph yet. He has all of the requisite skills.
Mm-hmm.
But can you really be that guy to lead your team, not just to the playoffs, but we're talking about to the conference finals or to the finals? So it's a lot more than just stats. And definitely he get a jumper, he'll be elite. He'll be even more of an elite player than he is now. But can you do the intangible stuff to help your team win? So that's what I'm kind of waiting to see. Ability wise, yeah, he's like Anthony Davis can do everything you want him to do on the court, you know, but can you elevate your game to the next level the way we've seen a Kevin Durant do, the way we've seen LeBron do, the way we've seen Jordan do? Does he have that in him, or is he just going to be a guy, or is he going to be Dominique, which isn't bad,
right?
But you know, Dominique was just at a, you know, I mean, we all know what he was. So, I'm still waiting on him yet. So I'm gonna watch a lot of him this year to see if I see it. But I can't knock what he's been doing so far, and I can't knock his improvements that he's made every year since he entered in the league.
So Ken, how come you're not sold on that? And this dude has improved dramatically. what more are you going to be sold on to see him go from?
Hey, B, not waiting.
First year.
Nah, he don't have to wait. I want to see. Go ahead.
I wish this was a video recording, because the way my face was screwed up, that shit was priceless. Cam, you tripping? Go ahead, B.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I don't understand. If I see a player go from what Yana's been doing from 1 year, second year to now. I'm sold. I don't know what else you want the man to do. You want him to average a quadruple double for you to be sold? I don't understand.
MVP of the league this year. How many games you got to win MVP? He's not going to be averaging a triple double there, like Westbrook to get one.
If his team winning, if Milwaukee end up being like a 3 seed or surprisingly a 2 seed, and he's putting up the numbers he's putting up. He's MVP hands down.
But we know the numbers are going to come down. We know the numbers are going to adjust, you know.
Do we? I mean, we said the same thing about Russell Westbrook.
36, 10, true. And 5.
I mean, okay. But, like, if it drops a little bit, I mean, okay. That's still impressive as hell, no matter how you put it.
I don't know.
And if they be like a 2 seed, what if Milwaukee be a 2 seed, man? That'd be crazy. You got to give him the MVP. Unless Russell Westbrook just come out and just be unworldly like. But Giannis, if Giannis can carry that team to a 2 seed in the East, you know, right behind the Cavs, if we assume the Cavs be the 1 seed, he's MVP. And if he's playing this level, he got like a different look on his face, man, this season. So
he does. I do agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, that Kobe Bryant tweet, man, it must have set something off in him. And I'm sold. I'm sold. I'm like, but look.
That's what I'm waiting to see. I'm just waiting to, like, I know the talent, the skills, the numbers are there.
But what else do you need to see, though, Ken? Because, look, let's be honest, right? This is a team sport. And just like you said about Anthony Davis, name me one of the top tier shooters that they've played with outside of Ryan Anderson for Anthony Davis. Come on, man, who's Giannis really played with? Chris Middleton is by far the best shooter. They added Tony Snell, but is he really elite? You know what I'm saying? Is he really middle to top tier shooter in the NBA? Like, he's good, but he, you know, like the talent around him has yet to be at the level of Giannis. You know what I'm saying? And yes, I agree that at some point you do have to elevate the people around you. But the type of player he is, he needs some shooting because he's going to attack the paint. Like, I think he's only taken 4 shots out the paint this year, like 4 true jumpers. You know what I'm saying? So all he's doing is living in there. You got to get guys that when they converge on him, he can make the pass and they're going to knock it down. He got Dele, but, you know, we know Dele's off and on. Like, they just need to continue to build the team around him. You know what I'm saying? Because as he's developing, he's adding skills that you didn't even know he had yet. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, then we need to do X, Y, Z. Like, you know, the plan with him is kind of crazy. And I don't know how they're going to get those guys, but they need to – the surrounding pieces need to be better because Giannis is outplaying them now. And it's not on him to bring everybody up. There's only but so much that even LeBron could do with Dele in the finals. You know what I'm saying? We see it. I feel you. And Giannis is getting to that point. Giannis is now becoming unstoppable. Like he was, like I would say 2 years ago, he wasn't unstoppable. He was Neo in the Matrix, but he couldn't see the code yet. He's seeing the code now.
You think like,
it don't matter what you're throwing at him. Right now, he's unstoppable. Through the first 4 or 5 games, you know, he holds a Milwaukee. I don't know if you texted this, but or where the hell I saw this, but Giannis through the first 4 games now holds the Milwaukee Bucks record in terms of is it points per game or total point? It's total points. He passed Kareem. And we're talking about the number one guy in NBA scoring history. You know what I'm saying? Like through the first four games, he scored more points than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So all I know is that this year, through four or five games, this guy's one of the most unstoppable forces I've seen play basketball.
But that's four or five games, though.
That's four or five games.
Right. I liked it. I love his game, man. I think when you look at this team, and I heard somebody say this on the radio, they refer to this team, meaning the Milwaukee Bucks, as a team full of condors. Everybody's long and athletic as hell, and I think he is the leader on that squad. I'm interested to see how they come together. They've been kind of, I don't want to say flying under the radar, but I mean, you saw the kind of success that this team had last year, and they didn't have Jabari Parker. So, Giannis is looking like, through a couple of games, it looks like he has made the steps to, kind of take his game to the next level. So, I mean, at his size and his skill and his, athleticism and everything, I mean, like, it's a freak of nature. And, you got to keep in mind, man, over a period of time, like, back in the day, guys his size would never be able to do what he's doing. And that's because, if you were a big guy, they threw you on the block. They threw the ball to you on the block, say, hey, go work out. They didn't encourage guys to have, some type of skill set and handles and dribble and all that stuff like that, and being able to shoot outside 18 footers. But yeah, his game, man, if he can continue to develop, he's definitely going to be an MVP in the discussion. I mean, LeBron's going to be there. Kevin Durant's going to be there. Harden's going to be there. But this guy right here, he's as good as advertised. Trust me when I tell you. And if you have not seen any Milwaukee Bucks games, make sure that you check them out. Even if you don't have League Pass, check it out. They will be on TV a lot this year. This team is loaded, and Giannis is definitely worth watching, to say the least. Something we talked about via group text, man, we wanted to bring to the podcast. As we go through these sports seasons, obviously, we know the teams that we root for and the teams that we like and the teams that we love. But there are some teams that we actually hate. There are some teams that, some people hate or dislike more than others. And then there are those teams that you just hate. I mean, like, you just downright hate them to the core of who you are and what you like. So we'll toss this thing around. First, we'll start here on the left with FIFO. And you can go through any sports, FIFO, how many other teams you want to name, different sports. Just start with the teams that you really, really hate. And, you can give a reason as to why you hate them, or you don't have to give a reason. Just say you hate them.
hated the Knicks. Hated the Knicks of the 90s. Hated them. Grew up in Chicago. Was there for all the Jordan 6 championships. Hated the Knicks, couldn't stand John Starks, Patrick Ewing, Charles Smith, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason.
I was right there with you.
I cannot stand them. I respected the crap out of them because they played hard and they played physical. And they always gave the Bulls a run for the money. But, man, I cannot stand that team at all. Let me see another team that stands out that I did not like. The Patriots. Damn Patriots.
Absolutely.
Damn Patriots. Never liked them. Grew up a Miami Dolphin fan, so obviously in the same division. Never liked them. Never, ever liked them. Before Tom Brady, I didn't like the Drew Bledsoe Patriots. They didn't like Curtis Martin until he went to the Jets. Couldn't stand them. Couldn't stand them.
Okay. What about you, B? Team, you mentioned some of them via group text. Teams that you hate, man.
Duke basketball.
Yes.
Yes.
Still.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
These are teams I've always hated and I still hate. Ohio State Buckeyes. Me being a Michigan guy is understandable. Sorry, Kyle, but your Yankees. I always hate the Yankees.
Hey, man. People hate greatness.
Bulls during the 90s, you know, late '80s, early '90s, only because, you know, the Bad Boy Pistons, you know, just because of that rival or whatever. I mean, yeah, Lakers. Never, even though I always respected and loved, you know, what Magic and company brought to the game and what Shaq and Kobe did. I never liked them. Notre Dame football.
Okay. Mm.
I feel like I'm forgetting someone. I forgot what I texted y'all, but yeah. Yeah, man, those teams. Those teams I cannot stand, man. I mean, I'm gonna take out Chicago because I don't have a dislike for them anymore. There's only a time period, like FIFO said. But yeah, the rest of the teams I named, I don't like them. I can't stand them, and I still can't stand them now.
What about you, Kent? Most hated teams, man.
Man, you know what's interesting about this question is that, yeah, like I think as I've grown older and matured over time, I don't really hate teams like I used to, except the Patriots. I'm going to hate them until Brady is out of there. but yeah, outside of that, most of the teams that I'm about to name, I guess you could throw Duke in there because they can throw them in there because they're still nauseating at times. And Notre Dame, like they get on my nerves, you know, ever since they fired the black coach.
Yeah, shout out to Ty Willingham.
Let's start with baseball. The Braves. I don't like the Braves. I've never liked the Braves, and I never will like the Braves. I don't care if I go to the game, but when I go to the Braves game, I go to see the Mets. I'm a Mets fan, or I was a Mets fan when I was young growing up. Same situation. I just bought a hat, became a fan. Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, you know, guys like that. So I just didn't like the Braves. And growing up in Mississippi, you know, most people there like the Braves. So I was like, nah, I'm good. For a while, I didn't like the Cardinals. I can't really explain why, but I just didn't.
Which Cardinals?
The St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, okay. St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. And yeah, with B, the Yankees, man. I hate the Yankees so much that when they started losing, I wanted them to start winning again so I can start hating them again. That's how much I hated them. Because it wasn't any fun when they were losing. Right. I want them to win so I can hate when they lose. Like they did against the Astros when they needed one game to go to the World Series. So that felt good. I hated the Yankees so much that I became a Red Sox fan. But I love I love Pedro Martinez, though. So that was my boy. But, yeah, I became a Red Sox
fan.
Shout
out to the Curl.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. That boy, man, that man was lethal.
Oh, he was nasty. Nasty.
One of my, I think he's probably my favorite pitcher of all time in baseball. Moving on to the NFL. For a period, I hated the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
When they went
to
four Super Bowls. Yes, I hated them when they went to four Super Bowls, when they had Thurman Thomas,
Jim Kelly.
With Andre Reed, is that right? James Lofton? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Man,
yep.
I could not stand the Buffalo Bills. I don't like the Redskins now. I don't like what they did to RG3. I don't like the Ravens. I don't like post-Ray Lewis Ravens. I don't like the Flacco Ravens. I think they got overhyped. And the Cowboys, man. I never liked the Cowboys like that. And it's complicated because, you know, black quarterback, black running back, you know, I want to root for them, but Jerry Jones didn't put his foot in his mouth. I, to this day, can't stand Alabama. I despise the Alabama Roll Tide. I hate everything about them. I hate Maria Sharapova for obvious reasons. I don't even need to go into that. and to close it out, basketball, man. I hated the Celtics. Oh my God, respected Larry Bird, but I could not stand the Celtics for a while. I didn't like Shaq, Kobe, Lakers. I didn't like Kobe Lakers. Now I did like the Big Three Celtics. I did like the Big Three Celtics.
Okay,
I already spoke on
the Big Three Celtics.
You hated? Oh yes, you did because you don't hated like them. Paul Pierce.
You know what? But here's the thing. I like young Paul Pierce. I like Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty.
Okay.
I like that Boston. Mm. But after that Boston, I didn't like Paul Pierce anymore.
Yeah. I didn't like the Utah Jazz. I couldn't stand Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He got on my damn nerves.
That's another team I forgot. Good one, Ken. Yeah, I couldn't stand Karl Malone either. Oh, I couldn't stand Utah either. I forgot about them.
And the Mavericks, man. I hated the Mavericks for a while.
Didn't like the Portland Trail Blazers. Terry Porter and them. Couldn't stand them.
Chicago, right? Stand them.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Man, of course. That finals, man. Oh my God.
Don't like Virginia Tech. Can't do it. The U all day.
Okay.
Can't do Virginia Tech. But I think that's it. I'm good.
What about when Vic played?
Yeah, I messed with Vic. I liked Vic, but outside of Vic, I don't mess with Virginia Tech. Yeah. And Florida State too. And really outside of Peter Warrick, I don't mess with Florida State.
I hate the Florida State Peter Warrick teams.
Yeah, I didn't like Chris Winkie and them. I didn't like that dude. He was way overrated.
He was, but he won.
He did. When you 40, you could win against a whole bunch of 18-year-olds.
Call it what you want. Call it what you want. He got it done. We can start right there. I'm a Florida State fan, so I hated and still hate Miami. I hate Miami with a passion. And I'm talking college football. Hate Miami, the U, with a passion. They got to win against us this year. You know, I mean, it's been what, 7-8 years. You know, sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. Who else do I? College football. That's about it. Miami is the only team that I really, really hate. I don't even hate the University of Florida anymore. Florida's just, they suck. So I don't really hate them anymore. If we go to baseball, hands down, the Boston Red Sox. As a Yankees fan, I hate the Red Sox. I will always hate the Red Sox. I will never lie. And I do have the utmost respect for Big Poppy. That's my dude. But outside of Big Poppy, yeah, I don't like nobody on the Red Sox. Let's see what else. Basketball, NBA basketball. The Lakers. Hate the Lakers. Always hated the Lakers. Hated the Showtime Lakers. Hated the Kobe Shaq Lakers. Even though I do have respect for them, hated them. Never particularly care for Boston, but I ain't really hate Boston like that. Let's see. College football, baseball. Basketball, and then we go NFL. NFL, the most hated team, I think, for me. And this, and my hate for this particular team supersedes all the other teams that I've mentioned before. The Dallas Cowboys. I hate Dallas. I hope Dallas goes 0-16 every year. I constantly remind Cowboys fans that they have not had a winner since Bill Clinton was in office and Tupac was alive. So for those of you listening, yes, I hate your team. I constantly, because here's the thing. I'm married to a Cowboys fan. And when the Cowboys, and because like I mentioned on the previous podcast, I grew up a Giants fan, still root for the Giants. So when the Giants and the Cowboys play, we don't even watch the game in the same room. We can't. my wife and I were talking. She wants to go to Texas Stadium for the Giants Cowboys game. You think I'm gonna pay for a flight to go to Jerry's World to give Jerry some money? Jerry can kiss my ass. Hell no, I ain't going. We can go to MetLife and see the Giants and the Cowboys. I ain't going to Dallas, not for that. I really hate the Cowboys. But again, not only is my wife a Cowboys fan, some of my closest and best friends are Cowboys fans. So, yeah, I hate Dallas with a passion. I hope they lose every Sunday. Jerry didn't put his foot in his mouth. Ken, Jerry's always been this way. Let's keep it a buck. He's always been this way. People just didn't know it or they looked the other way. Jerry is who he is. I forgot college basketball, Duke. Hate Duke. Which it got kind of interesting for me a few years ago, well, I don't say a few years, about 20 years ago, one of my best friends, she went to Duke and she graduated from Duke. And so when we had our first son, she became the godmother of my first son. Well, she got the bright idea to buy him Duke gear. And I'm like, yo, what's up with this Duke gear? And she's like, I think this is a little cute on him. I was like, nah, don't buy him no Duke. She was like, well, I'm his godmother. So she buys him Duke stuff. So my son has a bunch of Duke stuff and I hate Duke. So in fact, we got a catalog the other day in the mail with a whole bunch of Duke stuff on it. So, yeah, those are my teams, man. Hate Duke, hate Cowboys with a passion. And, you know, for the Cowboys fans listening who are mad at this podcast and mad that I'm saying that I hate the Cowboys, just wait. I want you to get your hopes up because they'll be crushed like they always are. before we get out of here, man, somebody hit us up on, I guess it was a YouTube channel. And when we were doing our live shows, we would close out the show with doing the One Guy to Go. And they said they wanted us to bring it back. So I got two of them here, two One Guy to Go's. And what One Guy to Go is, you just pick one. We give you four choices. These ideas are not mine. These are from my homie, Eclectic. You can follow him on Twitter at Eclectic or at One Guy to Go. It's real, real crazy phenomenon. But yeah, you choose one of the four choices to go and leave forever. So with that being said, we're going to pick four. I got actually two. I got one from hip hop and one from sports. Let's go to sports. NBA. Let's go to FIFO. One got to go. Hakeem Olajuwon, LeBron, Allen Iverson, or Kobe Bryant. One got to go.
Why are you going to do it to me like that?
This is easy. Get Kobe out of here. Get the Black Mamba out of here.
Wait, hold on. Are we talking number 8 Kobe or number 24 Kobe?
Hey, whichever Kobe you want it to be. It could be Kobe with the 8, Kobe with the 24, Kobe with the 12. It don't matter.
Stop running. Yeah, I got to get Kobe out of there.
There we go.
Okay. Don't let Rod hit his podcast. B, what about you, man? Hakeem, LeBron, AI, or Kobe? Who has to go?
What is this based off of? Like just who you like?
Just whatever you want it to be. Just it ain't really that deep. It's just one guy. If you got to get rid of one of these players for whatever reason, you're gonna get rid of one. Which one are you getting rid of?
If it's based off who I like the least, then Kobe would go. Okay. But if it was based off career, then Iva would go.
Okay. So you get rid of Kobe?
Yeah.
Okay. Ken, what'd you say?
Oh, I already said Kobe. I jumped out.
Hey, so I'm going to make it a foursome, man. Hey, Kobe got to go, man. I just told you guys my hate for the Lakers. So, yeah, if I had to get rid of one, I'm getting rid of it. Of course, Kobe's more accomplished, but if I got to get rid of one, I'm getting rid of Kobe. All right, so let's take it to hip-hop. This is the last one. Ken, MCs, Ghostface, Jay-Z, Nas, or Redman, one got to go. Who's going?
I made that noise like this was hard, but it's not. Jay-Z.
What?
Hey, yeah, man.
I knew that response was coming from FIFO.
Come on, man. Ghostface, Nas.
Ghostface.
And Redman?
Jay-Z, Redman.
Come on, man. Jay can't.
That thing is easy. Get Redman up out of there.
No, oh, hell.
What?
No. Hell no.
Over Jay?
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
No. Hell no, Vivo. B, what about you, man? Who you getting rid of?
Bye bye, Jay-Z.
Oh, y'all tripping.
Y'all tripping. Man, people said at the same time, y'all tripping. This was tough for me, man. I love all of them, man, but Ghost got to go, man. Wow. I got to get rid of Ghost. I got to get rid of Ghost. That's tough, though.
Ghost?
Yeah. I can't get rid of Jay-Z. Now, if I was going off this last album, I'd get rid of Jay-Z. That album was
trash. You ain't like 444?
What?
You know what, man? And I think I told y'all this. I don't know if maybe I told Ken.
444 was dope, man.
This was of all of the dead end reviews that I've ever seen, this that was the only review where no where I couldn't agree with nobody. I didn't. I'll put it like this.
444. Wow.
I'll put it like this. B. I liked it. I didn't love it like everybody else did. I just.
Please tell me you didn't like Magnum Carty Holy Grail.
Oh, I hated that shit. That's the worst album I think Jay-Z's ever made.
Jay-Z?
And I love Jay-Z. Man. Yeah, I'm keeping Jay. I'm keeping Jay. Jay's in my top five. Jay's at three in my top five.
You letting Ghost go, though, man? Supreme Clientele? Are you kidding me?
Bulletproof Wallace, Fish Scale.
And it's tough. Ghostface is staying. Ghostface is definitely staying.
Ghost ain't really on that Woo album too, like I wanted him to be, but
that's all right. He made enough solo. He made enough solo albums, you know. Whatever.
12 Reasons to Die. Right. Like, even his newer stuff is dope.
But you know, it's all good. Love Jay-Z. Shout out to Jay, man. Man, you know, keep rapping. I ain't about to tell him to stop and retire, but you know.
I would. But hey, Rav, did you see Blake Griffin dunk on Gobert?
Nah,
man, yeah,
he got him.
He got him tonight. Yeah, he got him tonight. Yeah. because I think Gobert was gonna jump up. Then he was like, "Nah, I'm good." But by then it was too late. Blake was already in the air, so all he could do was just turn his shoulder.
That's not good.
Check Twitter or Instagram. It's already up. You know it's up.
Jason Tatum caught one off the rim tonight too. It was decent putback. It's time for us to get up out of here, man. As I mentioned at the top, we want to thank you all for listening, tuning in each week. Make sure that you pass the word and give us feedback. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Now it's time for our final thoughts. My man BZ430's up first. BZ, what you got?
Look, man, I think we in good hands with the NBA, man. I'm really interested in seeing, like, the new, I guess, era of superstars in the next 4 to 6 years. Like, who is going to be, like, the face, those faces of the NBA? You know, like, right now, you know, we got Kevin Durant, LeBron James, the Russell Westbrook. Like, we got those guys. But, like, who I would like to see those next crop of guys. I mean, it would be interesting to see the next crop of guys in the next 4 to 6 years. That we're gonna see in the NBA, man. I think NBA is exciting, man. I like the young superstars that we got coming in there. I think they're gonna do a good job of grabbing that torch from the LeBrons, the Kevin Durants of the league, and taking over for the next decade, upcoming decade, you know. So I'm really interested, man. So that NBA is back again, getting some wonderful basketball, some exciting basketball. I think I've never really been this excited for regular season basketball in some years. So I'm just every time I can catch a game, man. I'm watching games and everything, man. This is fun. So yeah, I'm just glad we got some basketball back. I'm waiting for some college basketball to return. I'm waiting for my Michigan State Spartans to do work because I think we're gonna be ranked number 2 overall. So that's a lot of pressure on Tom Izzo on the boys. So I'm just glad basketball in general is just back, man. So yeah, I'm happy.
True indeed, true indeed. My man FIFO, your final thought.
Just when I bought in from the beginning of the season, I told the people that listen to FIFO, buy stock in Georgia teams this year. And the only stock that I won't sell is UGA because I still think that they're for real.
Mm-hmm.
But these damn Falcons, man, how you going to lose 3 in a row, right? Like, and first off, how you lose to the damn Dolphins? You're not supposed to lose to no damn Dolphins.
Jay Cutler. No, nonetheless.
Nonetheless. And then, see, my thing is, if you lose in Foxborough, you got to lose respect. And what happened? Go ahead, Kyle. Tell them what the score was, Kyle.
What was it? 23-7? Straight lemon booty.
About no damn Falcons. The rest of this year, I'm done. Stock is sold. I can no longer comment on that franchise.
Ken, what you got for your final thought?
Man, Anthony Davis left tonight's game with a knee injury. He won't return. He bumped knees with Maurice Harkless. He finished with 2 points and one rebound in 5 minutes of action. I remember we did a video, and you guys jumped on me for not having Anthony Davis as my top player, and I went with Cousins. Well, we might need to revisit that conversation. But man, I want to see Anthony Davis do well, man. I think the league is better when he's at the top of his game. And when he can stay healthy, man, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I hope he doesn't turn into one of those guys, the what if NBA player, because he has all the talent in the world, but he just can't stay on the field for one reason or the other. So hopefully this is just precautionary, and they're just taking being extra careful with him. But yeah, man. And I hope I didn't jinx him, but
I know, right?
Yeah, because we were talking about him earlier. But yeah, so I hope Anthony Davis get well, and because we want to see you play, man. We want to see you play the whole year, man, and want to see you reach your maximum potential. So that's all I got.
My final thought, I'm going to call it, sometimes it's best to keep your mouth closed. Some fans made their way toward the exits of the last game of Florida State home game, and fans started chanting, you know, "We want a new coach." Head coach Jimbo Fisher heard that, and he told a fan, "Bring your ass down here and say it to my face." Sometimes you got to keep your mouth closed. The fans, you don't want no smoke with Jimbo Fisher. You really don't. A fan at a recent game in the NBA was yelling some things at Kyrie Irving. The fan said, "Hey, Kyrie, where's LeBron?" And Kyrie responded, "Suck my dick." Kyrie, sometimes you got to keep your mouth closed. The fans in MetLife Stadium last week behind the Seattle Seahawks bench when they saw the Seattle Seahawks, who were, I think, half of their defensive line was not only taking a knee for the national anthem, but were flat out sitting down. Fans wanted to get rowdy and start yelling and cussing and everything like that, to the point where security was called. You don't want it with the Seattle Seahawks defensive line. You don't want no smoke. Sometimes it's best to keep your mouth closed. I said all that to say this. Just because you earn a ticket or pay for a ticket to a game does not give you the right to berate the players. Now, and you know, the case with Kyrie Irving, the fan didn't say anything wrong. Kyrie handled that very poorly, and his explanation for it was even worse. We saw a situation the other day where who was that? The Phoenix Suns rookie Josh Jackson was being berated by a fan, and he said he was going to give the fan the middle finger, but he ended up acting like he was simulating shooting a gun at them. You can't do that. So the memo to the fans, I know we have someone in the White House, the commander in tweet, who says things on Twitter and, you know, says things about people with no repercussion because you can't touch him. Fans can get touched. So sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut. There's an old saying back in the day, don't write a check that your ass can't cash. So don't let your mouth write a check that your ass can't cash. So word to the wise, don't think that you're going to say things to the players, because at some point somebody's going to call you on it and you don't want no smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for listening to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. For BZ, for FIFO, for Ken, I'm your host 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Hasta luego.